Today on Real Radio.
Here we come to church. And why are we here? Well, to worship God and to learn of God. Why? Because we're to go out there and practice God.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his series through the New Testament letter penned by James. We're in a mini-series that focuses on the last part of chapter 1, wherein we are admonished to be doers of the word, not just hearers. One way to be a doer is to declare and defend Scripture in all of its truths. Our study is taken from James chapter 1 and verses 26 and 27. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs in a presentation called Sharing the Word of Truth.
We need to be ready, if we're going to share the Word of Truth, to have the right mind. And what kind of mind does this religious person have, and what kind of mind should we have instead? This person thinks that he himself is religious. The word religious in James chapter 1, verse 26, is the one who considers himself, he's thinking, he thinks and he sees himself religious, that is, in his mind, he determines, he takes an account, which is what the word thinks means, he takes an account and he comes to a conclusion and he determines that he's above the other person that's near him or above those that are around him. He generates a very, very generous reputation of himself. This man thinks of himself higher than the rest, more spiritual than the others. That's where he makes his first fatal flaw. He doesn't come before God humbly. This man who is religious, he goes through his acts of worship to better himself. He goes to church to better his living. He doesn't come to church with a deep passion to find out, God, what is it that you want to say to my heart today? I want you, Lord, to instruct me in the way that I should go. That's not the heart and mind of this man. This man's mind is skewed. It is perverse internally. He's thinking more highly of himself than he ought to think. There's pride. And he might think, and I'm going to exaggerate this. I'm certain no one has the audacity to think like this, but he might be thinking in his mind. Nobody would know it on the outside, but inside he's thinking, Lord, I thank you that you came and died for the world. And of course, Lord, you had to die for them, but, you know, I am quite something. In fact, God, it's good for you that you'll have me in heaven. Well, just better than the rest. You know me, Lord. I'm holier than thou. And they've got this self-righteous attitude that they don't sin. In fact, they would disagree with 1 John, who says if any man says that he's not a sinner, he makes God a liar and the truth's not in him. They would say, well, I don't sin. All of us make mistakes now and then. There's this arrogance. This, you know, nose in the air kind of thing. That's the man that James is talking about here on the inside of him. You see, his heart's deceived. He thinks of himself religious. And this word religious simply means that he clamors or he is boasting about the fact that he's a worshiper. Isn't that an oxymoron? You know what an oxymoron is? It's two things that cannot connect together. It's impossible. And yet inside he's boasting, I'm this, I'm that, I'm the other. But outwardly, he's a worshiper. He's got religion. He comes to church, he writes a tithe check. He lifts his hands, he's got a Bible. He might even be involved in ministry. But he's got a high estimation of himself. James says, this guy's deceived. Just like the one who looks into the mirror and beholds his face and identifies who he is and takes a full account, but sets down that mirror and goes out into the world and forgets who he is. So this man is the one who says, I'm religious. and he serves, and he looks good to you and I. He looks good. In fact, you and I might say, I want to be just like him. I want to be just like her. On the outward, there's this wonderful appearance of godliness, but inside, they deny the true power of God because there's so much self-living. They love themselves. They don't see themselves as a sinner that's lost and God has saved them. There's pride. And yet, externally, there's this wonderful display. Their mind is deceived. Interesting thing that we need to keep in mind is that we have this temptation in all of our lives to view ourselves a little bit better than someone else. That's why James and Paul and John warn us to be humble in the evaluation of ourselves. In fact, the Bible tells us that if we judge ourselves, then we will not be judged by God. It's a good thing to judge ourselves, to see ourselves in light of the Word of God. But you see, this man reads the Bible and he sees himself doing everything better than Paul did it, everything better than James did it, everything better than Joseph did it. And he deceives himself. But watch what happens when you're in this mode, in this place. It says here that he does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his own heart. I'm curious, you can respond when I ask you this question. What do you think of, what do you see when you mention the word bridle? The single girls last service went, marriage. Please. No, bridle, horse. Bridle and bit in the mouth. Near my house, there's a place over there where they train these horses, and sometimes they've got them out there and they're trying to get a saddle on them. It's hilarious. And they're out there training these. And you can drive through the hills and there'll be horses running around, or there's a lot of ranches and stuff throughout the Chino area, and you'll see these horses. We see them all the time, don't we? And you see this beast and this wonderful animal. They're so beautiful and noble and all. Have you ever ridden one? You get on those babies, they got a mind of their own. You notice that? I get a little nervous when anything's got an eye bigger than I do. And they look fine, they're looking at you, their nostrils, you know, you can put your fist almost in their noses, you know, it's like this big nostril there, but they're wonderful, and you talk to them and they, you know, and they're fun. And then you get on the thing. And there's something about having 1,500 pounds under you. You start to feel, wow, now I see why John Wayne rode one of these things. It feels kind of good. And you go, and the thing just looks at you. You could have swore he said, what a jerk. But you're not sure. So you say, you know, let's go. Giddy up. Hew, hey, scoot, buddy, move. And it starts to move, you know? And this thing knows instantly. Now, I don't know about you, but with me, it knows that I don't know anything about it. And it, like, takes advantage of the moment. And it's going, and I'm saying, okay, all right. And I'm trying not to act scared. And then, you know, it comes time to stop. And you go, stop. Halt. You know, whoa. It won't even do it. Nothing. You gotta what? Pull back on the reins. Why? The reins are connected to the bridle and the bits. And it pulls that head back. And you can tell that great beast doesn't like what's going on. His ears go back. He'll look at you. But he submitted because you had control of him. You pull that massive animal under control. You brought him in. You pull those reins back. And this man who was self-deceived in his mind, oh, boy, you know, God needs me. The church needs me. I, me, my ministry, which always bugs me when I hear that. My church, my ministry. Wait a minute. It's his church. It's our ministry. The tongue goes out of control. It runs loose. It opens the mouth and out it goes and it does its damage. His tongue is not bridled. It's loose. He's deceived. He thinks that he can condescend on people and criticize them and judge them. And, well, listen, this is the voice of authority speaking. I was at a conference in Orlando, Florida, and I couldn't believe what had happened. There was this great, great, big deal. It was a big deal. All the big deal guys were there. It's a big deal. It was a big deal. And Charles Stanley or somebody introduced this next speaker, and they said, "And now coming to the pulpit is the voice of authority." Well, it must have been God coming to the pulpit then. The voice of authority. And I'm not going to mention this guy's name, but he got up there and he stood there and he began to speak. It wasn't Billy Graham. That kind of sounded like Billy Graham. It wasn't Billy Graham. He's speaking and he's this and he's this. And it's like, what choreographer taught him this stuff? He was like, perfect. And his voice, and he really knew how to make it quiver at the right moment. And we're like, whoa. And you can see people, this is the voice of authority. By the end of the message, they could barely get the guy's head out of the door of the complex that we're at. People were like going, oh, sign my Bible. Will you sign my Bible? What is this? So strange. Tell us, where do you think the church is going in the next millennium? Well, that's a good question to ask Jesus. Or ask ourselves. The tongue can come out and say all kinds of things. I'm the voice of authority. That's how this religious man would speak. His heart's deceived, yet he's still talking. In fact, the more he talks, the more he believes the propaganda is the man James is talking about. He believes his propaganda, he deceives his own heart, and his religion, his faith, his worship becomes vain, useless. And the frightening thing, verse 26 says, if anyone among you, where do you find these people? They look great in church. You don't know what's going on the inside. James says, you'll find them among you. And that's an alarming thing. Our minds need to be right. Look at our hearts need to be right. If we are going to share the truth of God, our hearts and our minds need to be in unity with one another and, of course, with the Lord. Look, he says here that he deceives his own heart, and this one's religion is useless. Three very, very key components: the heart, deception, and a uselessness in religion. The heart is the word in the Greek, cardia. You know it, don't you? Cardiology, cardio. And cardo, the center, the heart, mini city, civic centers, or maybe the, you know, the main square of the city is called the cardo. You've heard that before. The center of it all. And I want you to think for a moment. His heart becomes deceived. He deceives his own heart when he begins to believe in his own propaganda. What's he talking about when he uses the word cardia? The cardia is the heart that's in our chest. We could pull it out and have it sit here in the pulpit. It's just a muscle. How can a muscle be deceived? Well, a muscle cannot be deceived. So what's he talking about? He's talking about the fact that every person born into this world has a spirit and a soul lodged, anchored inside this body, this biological machine. Every one of us. Your heart can't think and be deceived and sing a song and love and hate. Your heart can't do that. When the Bible mentions your heart, it's talking about the real you inside. Listen, evolutionist. I can cut my tongue off, put it over here, take the brain out of my head, set it in the middle, and they're not going to do anything. They won't do a thing. It's the spirit and the soul that operates these things. I've told you before, Ross Perot's got the biggest ears I've ever seen. But a lot of people can hear better than he can. His ears don't hear. His ears are just a tool. It's, the Bible says, his heart that hears. But what is the heart? It's the part of you that thinks and feels and writes a song and is angry at the neighbor or loving towards someone else. It's the you. And James says, because of what this man says, being void of real spiritual commitment inside of his heart, he's an outside worshiper of God, but his heart's been deceived. And he speaks in this state of deception. And what's the result? He becomes useless. His religion's useless. His worship, I like to put that word in there, and it's legal for us to do that. His worship is vain, useless. Hey, you know, think about this. Here we come to church. And why are we here? Well, to worship God and to learn of God. Why? Because we're to go out there and practice God. And so we don't want our religion to be in vain. His religion is vain. Why? Because the word vain or useless means it's only good for display, to look at. Well, who wants a car like that? And God says, who wants a Christian like that? Well, Jack, I love the Lord, but I don't know what to do. I understand, and that's where you guys are at. That's where I'm at. Lord, what do you want me to do? There's so much to do. And here's what you and I struggle with, don't we? Lord, there's so much to do, I don't know where to begin. And if we're not careful to step out and follow the Lord, guess what we do? Lord, I'm 20 years old. I don't know what to do. And so we pray, Lord, I know the church is asking for children's ministers and parking lot guys and ushers and this and that. I just don't know what to do. So now we're 25 years of age and we're still asking the same question. Lord, I don't know what to do. Now we're 35. Now we're 40. Now we're 45. Lord, what do you want me to do? That's a good question. But listen carefully, people. Sometimes God doesn't show us what he wants us to do until we get up and move. God told Moses to take the people across the Red Sea, didn't he? I love that. I love that there in Exodus. Moses gets them right to the river, right to the sea. They're all there. Some 2.5 million people. What a PA system he must have had. He gets right there and he goes up on top of this high ground. Ladies and gentlemen, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. And there's silence. And God says, Moses, excuse me? I didn't say stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. I said, get thee up and go across. Now, hurry! Moses, stand still and see the salvation. And God says, shut up and go. Will you go? They're closing in on you. Moses puts his foot in the water and the sea opens up. But he had to put his foot in the water. Many of us would, Lord, what do you want me to do? Sometimes he sits silent. Have you ever asked him? Sometimes he doesn't answer. And you're looking at the bulletin that says, ushers needed. Ushers needed in my church, where I go, my fellowship, my friends. Ushers needed. Anyway, Lord, what do you want me to do? Sign up. Watch this. This is so sweet. Sign up. You know what? In about a month or two, you may find out, I don't like the usher. Then the Lord's not in it. Try the children's ministry. What about 3 months after that? You don't think that's your place either. It's just not working out. It might take you 3 or 4 tries to find out that God wanted you in the tape duplicating room to send the messages out around the world. I like this. You're going to love it. Oh, I love it. And you know, it's your thing. You love it. Took you a couple tries, but you found your spot. You're so happy you did. I think God looks down on that kind of Christian and goes, that's cool. Watch him. In fact, Gabriel, Michael, get a load of this. He's going to bump into 3 ministries before he finds the one that I want him to do. And I'm just going to be testing his heart to see if he perseveres. And then there's those who God has a great, great design and creative plan for, but they never step out to find out what God wants them to do. Because they didn't know what to do, they didn't do anything. And Jesus comes back and he says, what did you do? Oh, didn't do anything. I didn't know what to do. Kind of stood around, you know, watched the clouds go by. You know. Didn't do nothing. And you're saying, Jack, does that mean we have to do something? Well, we're not to do something to do something's sake. We are to be truly religious. we are to truly worship, and that is meeting the needs of one another. And he's going to show us how that's done right now. Verse 27, second point of the message, is that our worship needs to be performed publicly in this regard. Pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this. One thing I want you to see, it's pure. It's not tainted. Undefiled, it has not been molested. It doesn't have false motives, false doctrine. It's pure, it's simple. It's got Jesus first. And he says, this is the kind of religion that's acceptable. You see the word before God? The pure and undefiled religion that stands in the presence of God. This is what God has approved. God says, this is what I want. How many of us love the Lord? We love the Lord. How many of us would do exactly what he said? We would do exactly what he says. Guess what he's saying right now? This is it. You ever wonder what God's will is? Here it is. It's this: to visit orphans and widows in their trouble, and to keep yourself unspotted in this world. Let's read it backwards. Unspotted in this world, stop hanging out with your friends who pull you down. You know that you shouldn't go out and be drinking or be doing this, or you know your wife or your husband wants you home, but you're out with them and it's a bad thing, and you feel God saying you need to be home or you need to stop doing this. James says, just stop that stuff. Tell God now you want to stop it. I don't want to be tainted by this world. That doesn't mean you're some kind of a snooty goofball like, you sinners, I'm not going to talk to you. Oh, no, 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 no. You get right in there with them. And they go, oh, Jesus Christ, this or that. And you say, hey, Jesus, I heard you. What did you say? Or were you praying? You're laughing. I did that one time. And then after I got up, I told them, no, I'm kidding. No, I was with a bunch of people. It was at work, and we had to go to this happy hour thing because there was going to be a company presentation. I didn't want to be there. I wanted to go home. I had a long commute home from Newport to Chino Hill. I don't want to be there. And for some reason, because cursing was not allowed on company grounds, couldn't do it. And I don't know if they still hold to that rule. I would venture to say that they do. And anyway, for some reason, they thought at the happy hour place, they could let their happy self be. And, Jesus Christ. And I said, hey, whoa, what was that? What was what? 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 You just mentioned Jesus. Are you praying? Because, man, I haven't heard that name used so much. I don't even hear that much in church.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs here on Real Radio. In a study of James chapter 1 and verses 26 and 27 called Sharing the Word of Truth, look at how Scripture admonishes us to be doers of the Word and not just hearers. It's part of Pastor Jack's series through this New Testament letter, which will continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Now, we've got an event coming up, and Pastor Jack wants to give us a heads up on it.
Well, I wanted to get to you early and ask you to save the dates for a very special upcoming event, and that would be our 2012 Southern California Prophecy Conference. The dates are Friday evening, March 2nd, all day Saturday, March 3rd, and Sunday morning, March 4th. And the location is right here at Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills.
Okay, and of course, the best way to get all the particulars is by visiting us at realradioactive.org, realradioactive.org. Our mailing address, Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Our phone number, 877-RR-RADIO. 877-RR-RADIO. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of its listeners. Visit us at realradioactive.org, realradioactive.org. Till next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.